As always, I think that my microphone volume when I'm talking gets down because I get relaxed and I lay back or something. But anyway, enjoy the show.
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy, what a day. I've been having lots of technical problems with my news sources. Apparently, I'd forgotten that I'd set up through the library access to several newspapers, and then you have to renew your account every 70 hours or something like that, or else, and so you have to go through this process over and over. It's a little frustrating, but deep breaths, it's okay. We'll just use less other news sources. We'll start off with something that's a little exciting, and that's that the Supreme Court's throwing out decisions all over the place, which can be, you know, contentious at times. There's a blog that I like a lot called the SCOTUS blog, Supreme Court of the U.S. blog, and they basically write about or share the opinions and things for all the things on the docket. So if you want a long version, go check that out. But the main headlines are that in Trump versus Mazars, the justices held that the courts below did not take adequate account of the significant separation of powers concerns implicated by congressional subpoenas for the president's information and sent that back. So basically in that one, we're saying, you know, Congress, is it really your job to be doing this? Because, of course, the president, you know, the people being investigated, they're saying, well, hey, you're trying to do a enforcement action, but Congress is arguing we're just doing an investigative action because we want to know if we should change the law. So we'll see how that goes. And then the other one is Trump versus Vance. And the justice has held that a sitting president is not absolutely immune from a state criminal subpoena for his financial records. And this is relating to, in New York, they're trying to investigate him for his financial dealings. And so they've been trying to subpoena his banks. If they couldn't subpoena him, they were subpoenaing his banks and his accountants and stuff. And they were fighting it. So they'll be able to work there. And then the Supreme Court also just did something that I think ultimately this is kind of one of the bigger picture things, and that's that in McGirt versus Oklahoma, the justices held that for purpose of Major Crimes Act, land throughout much of eastern Oklahoma reserved for the Creek Nation since the 19th century remains a Native American reservation. Now, it's kind of gross. McGirt is this guy who, like, was charged with a sex crime in a city in Oklahoma, by the state, in a city in Oklahoma that's on this land. So he was arguing, you don't have jurisdiction to charge me with this crime because I was on the reservation. And the Supreme Court's basically holding that up. So what that means, and exciting news, is that hopefully Native Americans have kind of got... put it lightly, the U.S. has never been kind or friendly towards the indigenous peoples of this country. So it's good that the Supreme Court at least recognized the reservation that the U.S. government gave them, and hopefully the Creek Nation is able to reap some kind of, you know, be able to actually use this power for good that the Supreme Court's upheld. They're the ones in charge of that place. We'll see how it goes. You know, systemic oppression is pretty powerful. Anyway, I don't want to talk about. I'm trying not to read too many news stories that raise my blood pressure, get me grumpy. So instead, I want to play a song for you, and then talk a little bit about an article I found about Gopher. Not the mammal. This is off of a record. And by the way, I found my old sounds.
You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
Oh yeah.
Witches at black masses, evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction, in the fields of bodies burning, as the war machine keeps turning, death and hatred to mankind. Poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
Thank you.
Oh boy, folks. As much as I want to now in darkness play the whole stops 8-minute song, we can't, where the body's because burning. We'll run out of time if we do. So, just know, I've got more sounds.
The Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
Those sound, interstitial sounds, radio ads are kind of odd with the vibe of this show. The Anon Radio, the Creative Common Valence Electron show, it fits a little better, I think, but hey. I'm excited that I found them. I got those a long time ago, so pretty cool. Alright, so there's a blog I like called the Cheapskates Guide, or cheapskatesguide.org, and it's the Cheapskates Guides to Guide to Computers and the Internet, and this blog is basically, I think, I found this off of the Tildeverse's RS or links site. It's kind of like a Reddit clone almost. It's just links.tildeverse.org. And so, anyway, I found that. But what I found was an article that was pretty great. He's got several, or he or she, they've got several for the last while about text-based interneting. And that's something that interests me because, guess what? I dig Gopher. I think Gopher's pretty cool. So SDF has a Gopher space. Gophernicus is available. You can use links. But the main thing I just wanted to throw out there was this person wrote about Gopher space in 2020. And I just want to give you the summary here, is that Gopher is faster than the rest of the internet because it's just text. No SSL handshaking. No one's spying on Gopher. It's all public anyway. You can explore. There are plenty of Gopher spaces. It looks like... here's a fun one. Sorry. I kind of just got excited when I saw a Gopher and stopped... just started reading instead of talking, but the best place, this is where they say, now the fun begins. Once you have links installed or have installed the Firefox plugin to go to Gopher, now you're in Gopher space. If you go to FloodGap, gopher.floodgap.com/1/world, yeah, get it? There's dozens of Gopher servers there. It hosts the Last Veronica search engine, so you can search by keywords and sites. They give a shout out to SDF, hell yeah, Super Dimensional Fortress. I don't think they're an SDF user because of the way they talk about SDF, but basically they're like, great. From there, follow the link labeled sdf.org to the Super Dimensional Fortress. There you will find many interesting vlogs and files. Gopher blogs are called vlogs. One interesting vlogger is Tomasino. Yeah, and they link to his Gopher hole on SDF. Another is Solderpunk, and they give his URL too. It's just user Solderpunk. And there's many, many more. So, just as an aside, Gopher space is alive and well, and somebody actually... went about and has outside of SDF found it. If you are using the Tildeverse too, which is like Tilde Club and all those, there's also gopher.tildeverse.org, and you can browse each member of, because the Tildeverse is like a collective of various Pubnixes or whatever. And so all of them, I think, have a Gopher space. So if you get an account there, you can stand up a Gopher instance there too. But wherever you want, just put your Gopher space up, throw a link in Mastodon, and let the world know that you're a cool cat. So rad. Anyway, Gopher rules. This is what happens when I try and do light. Sorry. All right, so now we've got some news from a couple weeks back that I think is pretty cool. This is from Anton McClure. His blog wrote about this. And it's that Microsoft has released the Defender ATP platform for Linux and Android devices. So what that does is it provides real-time protection for servers that are running like file system stuff like ButterFS, EncryptFS, the EXTs, Fuse, NFS, Riser, Temp, almost all of them. It doesn't have, not ZFS, but most others. And it supports the top six OSs. So what's the deal here? And the idea with this platform is that hey, this guy wants me to buy something, I think. Oh, here it is. It offers full device scans to find even the latest threats, like malware, malicious apps, and detect phishing. Okay, yeah, it's like a virus scanner kind of thing. Man, I got excited because this article looked long, but it's just mostly ads for other stuff this person does. So, just know that if you're looking at security for your Android device and you trust Microsoft, then there's a new bit of software you could check out. Okay, so something pretty. This is probably the heaviest bit of news that I've got, and that's that it involves, just as a training, this involves self-harm, so if that bothers you, tune out for about 2 minutes or so. So, here we go. So, the headline is that at Seoul's mayor was found dead and is suspected suicide. His name was Park Woon-soon. He was found dead on Friday. Appears to be one of the country's highest profile suicides in recent events. So what do you mean by that, Marcus? Well, the body of Park, 64, was found at Mount Bukok hours after he was reported missing. His cause of death remains under investigation. Daughter filed a police report at 5:17 that he'd left the home 4 to 5 hours ago after leaving words like a will, with his phone currently off. More than 770 police officers, fire trucks, and ambulance were mobilized to track the whereabouts, searching areas around his home and the nearby temple Gilsangsa in Songbukdong in Seoul, where his cell phone signal was last detected. According to local news reports, Park was recently facing allegations of sexual harassment. A former secretary of Park filed a complaint against him on Wednesday with the Seoul Metropolitan Police Agency for alleged sexual assaults. She alleged that Park had made physical contact several times since she began to work with him in 2017. She submitted messages that she had exchanged with Park via the Telegram service to police as evidence. It's just so sad. I don't know. Maybe, just maybe, people will stop being such jerks and assholes to each other after enough of us, after we've been isolated long enough, maybe. I don't know. World's freaking weird, man. It's like, you just gotta kinda roll with it at this point, you know? What are you gonna do? It's like some people are assholes and you just gotta figure a way around it, but suicide's not the answer, and you hurt a lot of people, and it's just a permanent solution to a temporary problem, is what I like to think whenever I get that way. Okay, let's get out of that, blah, 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 blah. Let's focus. Let's talk about news, and let's talk about non-death news. Oh, what's that computer? Yeah, sorry. There aren't a lot of non-death news stories. Yes. My podcast app is blowing my internet up, my computer up. Alrighty. So here we go. Do do do. Where did it go? Sorry, I lost my place. All right, here we go. Here's what we're gonna do. I'm gonna play a song, then I'm gonna come back and I'm gonna talk about like two or three more stories. And I'm going to get my life together somehow. It's like work-life balance. What is it? How do I fix it? We'll figure it out. Anyway, until I do, let's listen to this record. Coming up at 1930 UTC is the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe, and that show rules. So if you're tuned in the daytime block on anonradio.net, you want to stick around. Keep an eye out for Marcus. There's so much music on my computer, I just want to play it all, but that's not what we're about. This is news to me, and we're talking about news. So, here's an international story. I think the structure is falling apart, deteriorating rapidly as the show goes on, but I'm having a lot of fun, so I hope you're enjoying the show at least a little bit. So, here we go. So next up we've got a story out of China that was kind of, it's pretty sad. So in China, there's this long tradition of taking a test of, for youth being able to take a test to prove their worth. So like the poor farmer has a way to get out and get a good job or improve their station in life. And so in the modern era, that means college entrance exams. Everyone takes these placement tests, and if you do well, you get to go to one of these prestigious colleges. And if you go to that college, you make the connections, you get good, you know, and then you just move on up. And it's like, okay, wonderful. Well, this week, around 10 million students, this is from BBC, around 10 million students across China sat for the Gaokao, I don't know how to say it properly, college entrance exam, which determines their entire future. Hanging over their heads, though, is the recent revelation that hundreds of other students before them were victim to an identity theft scandal, which saw them robbed of their results. And this is a particularly sad story. For Chen Chengxu, it was an exam that could change everything. Doing well on the exam meant that the farmer's daughter had a shot of getting into her dream university, and failing meant it would be just a dream. She failed, denied admission to the college, she took up different jobs, factory work, or a waitress, before she became a kindergarten teacher. So 16 years later, she found that she had in fact earned a place at Shandong University of Technology and enrolled there, but it wasn't her. Her score and her entire identity was stolen by a girl whose relatives had pulled strings to make it happen. Her case is just one of 242 student identity thefts that took place in Shandong province between 2002 and 2009. So, the notoriously hard high school exam tests school leavers on their Chinese, math, English, and other subject. It has been a focal point of the education system since the 50s, with a break during the Cultural Revolution. So, this is just pretty wild. The article is pretty long, and basically, there's not a whole lot that they can do. The Ministry of Education has announced that any students found to be involved in identity theft won't be allowed to enroll, and the local authorities have launched an investigation, and 46 people have been punished. She's trying to claim back what should have been her life, and she appealed to be readmitted to the university. After initial rejection was met with public uproar, the university later said it would actively strive to help Ms. Chen realize her wishes. So, it's just crazy. It's wild because it's not a cheating scandal. It's like literally stole your whole identity. Anyway, we've got one more story. This is a tech one. And this is about NVIDIA. Today, NVIDIA is now worth more than Intel. So, thanks to a recent surge in its stock price, NVIDIA has overtaken Intel to be the most valuable chip maker in the U.S., following a 2.3% jump yesterday afternoon. Team Green's shares have now reached $408, putting its market cap at $251.3 billion, ahead of Intel's $248.1 billion. We hear a lot about how AMD is now a big challenger to Intel, but it still lags far behind Chipzilla when it comes to a company valuation. Lisa Su's firm has a market cap of $62.5 billion, almost a quarter of what Intel's worth. NVIDIA, however, now holds the title of biggest chipmaker in the U.S. and the third largest in the world, despite not actually producing its own chips. It leaves that to third-party foundries such as TSMC. Intel's chips, on the other hand, are created entirely in-house. So, that's pretty cool. I don't hate Intel, but I do think that Intel has done some shady business practices in the past, and I like AMD because they have open source drivers that are really great, so whenever you're using Linux, it matters a lot. So anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there. It looks like my where's my radio sounds? My radio sounds disappeared. And so, suddenly, you know what was missing? Yeah, that's right.